Mother Earth says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. And Father Sky says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. Living creatures say, take good care of us. Please do not hurt us. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. And we are here to be ourselves, to be with one another, to be with our surroundings, to be. And we are here to take care of ourselves, to take care of one another, to take care of our surroundings. Anila nijone go shavotya, nijone go shavotya. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo.
Akwe, greetings. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat-Kitishi Native American Center. We are broadcasting on RFPI, Radio for Peace International, Global Community Radio. Akwe, welcome. This is your host, Ones Pritzker. Wolf Mountain Radio focuses on protecting Mother Earth, defending Native lands and Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices presents the situations facing Native peoples throughout the world with Native news, interviews, music, commentaries, and investigative reports. This program serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and the traditional cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Please listen now to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Ho, Kanawantakwasin, to all of our relations.
Wakia baba ture itoka wami keni wami karayawei wariko wakia tainoti bomba tu busika wakia para yukubia ahika sabi huracan wa yukiyu han Dios anaboridata ahankatu.
Well,
the Arawak Mountain Singers off their Sounds of America recording entitled Honoring the Ancient Ones. The name of their drum song, Wadiko, a prayer song. It was sung in the traditional Arawak language. As most listeners to Wolf Mountain Radio know, Arawak and Taino are indigenous peoples of the Caribbean. They were the first victims of European conquest of the Americas, beginning with Christopher Columbus's 1492 arrival in the so-called New World. Like many indigenous peoples throughout the globe, Caribbean Amerindians were spiritual people who had reverence for Mother Earth. Their society had many ceremonies in respect of the natural world of their islands. Taino were peaceful people who took care of each other. This was one of the first characteristics that Columbus wrote about in his diary with the phrase Una Majestos Indios, a peaceful, spiritual, gentle people. Una Majestos Indios, that is the origin of the term Indian. Of course, Columbus wrote that as a description of how easy it will be to conquer and enslave the natives. The term Indian does not refer to geography. Contrary to Eurocentric misinformation, Columbus knew he did not land in India. In fact, using ocean charts, which the Vatican took from earlier Viking navigations to North America, Columbus had planned to sail to what is now the southeast coast of the United States. Due to trade winds and marine currents, we all know he went off course and landed in Arawak and Taino Islands of the Caribbean. The subcontinent, now called India, was known at the time as Hindustan, inhabited by Hindis. The real truth of Columbus is still being distorted by historians and teachers. Ashkwe, greetings and hello, everyone. Welcome to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. This is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker. In today's broadcast, we share a conversation about Taino culture and history with my Taino friend, Canuck Saba, his American name, Edgar Rodriguez. Canuck Saba and I both care about the well-being of Mother Earth and all life. We both are dedicated to our traditional Native cultural spiritual life ways. We try to encourage Native youth to be proud of our ancient beliefs and traditions while being planetary citizens in the 21st century. Yadkinishi Native Center considers Taino history and their current cultural resurgence an important aspect of Indigenous peoples' struggle for sovereignty and self-determination. One very important reason is that the Taino, as many listeners to Wolf Mountain Radio know, are the native people with whom the pirate and murderer Christopher Columbus met when Columbus washed ashore on the Taino island Guanahani. It's been estimated that there were 30,000 Tainos on Guanahani in what is now called the Bahamas. Columbus renamed it San Salvador. Guanahani is where 517 years of colonization of the Western Hemisphere started. Columbus and other conquistadors were sanctioned by the Christian churches 1493 Intercessory Papal Bull of Pope Alexander VI. This official Vatican decree called for the European conquest of all of the non-white, non-Christian world in the name of Christendom. It has yet to be revoked by the Vatican. I am still awaiting a formal apology by the Pope for the conquest and genocide of the indigenous peoples of the Americas. Taino, as Caribbean Amerindians, occupied what is now called the Greater and Lesser Antilles and parts of the Bahamas. The Tainos, like many indigenous peoples throughout the world, refer to themselves by their specific geographic areas. Boracan is what is now called Puerto Rico. Quisqueya is what is now called Haiti and the Dominican Republic. Exameca is what is now called Jamaica.
Guantanamo is what is now called Cuba, and Lucayo is what is now called the Bahamas and smaller islands. Taino people were also known to have relations with the ancient Florida, Calusa, and Tequesta tribal nations. The Taino, like many indigenous peoples, were and are a society that had reverence for Mother Earth. Their spiritual beliefs honor the natural world. As we say in my Wabanaki language, Kinon Wantakwasin, all of our relations, the animals, birds, plants, trees, fish, and marine life of our sacred lands and waters. My Wabanaki people call the Great Spirit Ketantewet. Taino call the Great Spirit Guatode. Taino's Kane ceremonial circle has 24 stones placed around the four sacred directions. This is like the sacred medicine wheel traditions of various native peoples in what is now called North America. I've had the honor to accompany my friend Kanuk Saba, himself a well-respected Taino spiritual leader called Ebeki, to several Taino ceremonies. Their prayer circle shares many similarities to North American Indian ceremonies. In the North, we offer prayers with sweetgrass and sage. Taino burn copal. Sacred tobacco is smoked in both Taino and Native North American traditions. Bird feathers have special meaning in both of our spiritual beliefs. Owl feathers are important in Taino ceremony. In North American Indian prayers, eagle, hawk, and anhinga are several of the special feathers. Watching the Taino shark dance reminded me of my Eastern Woodlands tribal clan totems, like my Wolf Clan drum song dance. Taino culture and history is also important as an aspect of the worldwide indigenous peoples' movement for justice, for sovereignty, and self-determination. Eurocentric anthropologists and historians have for many years denied many native peoples of their existence in modern times. Many countries likewise do not recognize Aboriginal sovereignty or even native rights as distinct peoples. The 20-year struggle at the United Nations for the UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples exemplify the colonial attitude still practiced by many governments. This UN Declaration and several other important pronouncements, such as the ILO Convention 169 on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, have very little real authority or enforcement. Certainly, foreign diseases such as smallpox, European warfare, slavery, Christianity, and forced assimilation efforts have greatly impacted indigenous peoples, including the Taino. However, many indigenous peoples have survived the 517 years of conquest, theft of homeland, and oppression. Despite the arrogance of Western science, genetic studies have documented that Taino are not extinct. Dr. Juan Carlos Martinez Cruzado's research for the Joint National Academy of Science and University of Puerto Rico reported in the year 2000 that Taino DNA is present in many people now living in the Caribbean. While many indigenous peoples are now mixed-blooded, being native is not a matter of blood quantum. It is how you live. Do you honor traditional native cultural spiritual life ways? Do you know your tribal history? Do you care about preserving native ways? Do you advocate for indigenous rights? Do you teach the younger generation about their heritage? This is what it means to be an indigenous person. Many native cultural and spiritual traditions are being revived by indigenous peoples throughout the world. Many native peoples are reasserting their traditional government and political relationships as they were prior to European colonialism. This is seen in the growing number of native peoples' declarations as distinct confederacies and tribal nations. Indigenous peoples are increasingly working together internationally. I am very proud of the many Native Peoples' declarations being made at global conferences. There are also more and more gatherings hosted by and for Native peoples, which also issue statements of concerns by and for tribal peoples. The annual United Nations Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues, or the Carioca and Kimberley Declarations from the UN Conference on Environment and Development and the UN World Summit on Sustainable Development, are important examples. I am proud to have been able to attend a number of international and intertribal conferences over the years. Taino people are coming together again through a number of organizations dedicated to promoting Taino cultural, political, and spiritual lifeways. To find Taino organizations Yat Kedeshi Native Center has learned from are the Kenai Indian Spiritual Circle, their website www.kenaicircle.org, and the United Confederation of Taino People, www.uctp.org. Of special significance is the historic January 3rd, 1998, UCTP Declaration. The declaration, which is posted on UCTP's website, consists of a preamble and 8 articles. It gives my heart a great feeling to watch and report on the Renaissance taking place in Taino culture. It is happening because of the dedication of people like today's program guest, Kanuk Saba. It is now my honor and pleasure to welcome Kanuk Saba to Wolf Mountain Radio.
Tauka, Guaga Taino, Guakia Taino, Guaguahambo. Hello, I am Taino. We Tainos are still here. If we were extinct, I could not speak in my native tongue. My name is Kanuk Saba. I am a Beike of the Kane. I am a Taino. The Taino people are from the Greater Antilles Island in the Caribbean. Our culture is a mixture of the ancestral culture coming up from the Amazon basin, traveling northward, and the southern culture of the Florida Indians traveling southward. That mixture is my culture. And so we have essence and techniques and things from the north as well as from Central and South America. Our staple food is cassava, which is the staple food of the Indians of Amazonia. Even though we do eat corn, which is the staple food of the Northern and Central American indigenous people.
Sir, Taino cultural spiritual lifeways, like all indigenous peoples, are based on our relationship to where we live on our sacred Mother Earth. We are inseparable from the natural environment. For me as a Wabanaki, I am connected to the lands and waters where the sun first rises in North America. My ancestral homeland is now called the state of Maine and parts of what's now called Eastern Canada. It is Wabanaki territory, and we are known as people of the Dawnland. The animals, plants, trees, birds, fish, and aquatic life of the Wabanaki Forest River ecosystem in seacoast areas are our relatives. They provided food, clothes, medicines, and even utilitarian items such as canoes, snowshoes, toboggan sleds, tools, and materials for our wigwam homes. They also sustained us spiritually. The Taino, being indigenous to Caribbean islands, are connected to the ocean. Your ancestors were great canoe sailors and fishing people. Many of your ceremonies, like the shark dance I had the honor to watch, honor sea life. Would you please talk about Taino's relationship to the ocean?
Yes, we are hunters of the sea. With long canoes, we've canoed into the North America as well as in South America for trade. We also watched the stars. The stars help us to translate the seasonal changes that come. There is a hurricane season, a rainy season, and so, being people of the earth, we are attuned to the rhythms
and the ebbs and tides of the sea.
Junhoane, gunyadalawanyane, godinyagele, junhoane.
Oneida singer-songwriter Joanne Shenandoah off her Silver Wave record CD entitled Sky Woman. The name of the song, Whales of the Sea. Whales are revered by coastal tribal peoples. Native peoples have strict hunting and fishing protocols, which are governed by clan mothers. My Nichi Tonganooks, my ancestors, did hunt whales for food. It is important to note that we did so with prayer ceremony and humility. Our whale songs asked permission of the whale relative we would have killed. We only hunted enough for everyone in the village to have food. We did not over-harvest marine life. We offered Sweetgrass prayers of gratitude to the whales. These tribal ethics are very different from the modern-day commercial whaling factory ships who slaughter whales with no respect. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices. This is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker. In the studio today is my Taino friend, Canuck Saba, his American name, Edgar Rodriguez. In today's program introduction, I mentioned that around the world, Native peoples' pride is regrowing. Indigenous peoples will no longer accept colonialism in its various forms, dictating our lives and its desecration and destruction of Mother Earth. It is not necessarily easy for contemporary Native peoples to follow traditional ways, many of which were outlawed until very recently. Furthermore, many Native peoples were forcibly removed away from their ancestral homelands, both in colonial times and even in the 19th and 20th centuries. Not everyone has a reservation they can return to in order to learn their culture. Many Native languages are barely spoken, making it even more difficult. 517 years of genocide and forced assimilation efforts have decimated tribal peoples throughout the world. However, there is a cultural spiritual renewal that is occurring among Indigenous peoples, including the Taino. Would you please comment on the cultural revitalization taking place with your Taino people, both in the Caribbean and here in what's now called North America?
One of the things that I have to first state is that the Indigenous people of Central America and South America don't have reservations. And so it's not like we are together in a village in this global economy. I myself grew up far away from my homeland. But what I have found is so many families have kept parts of the traditions. So in 1990, when in New York City, there was a call to gather of Taino people. And when we gathered together, it was like finding our relatives. And each one of us thought that our family was the only band left. Because of the Christian oppression, things were not taught, things were not spoken about, songs were not sung. But as we came together, bits and pieces of songs, and even families had the same songs, maybe missing a verse, and we pieced those things back together, making a full basket of teachings for the next generations. So we have together our seasonal ceremonies and songs and language. And it was a great joy for me to partake and be part of that movement. Thank you.
We were tribes then. Lived in the sacred ways. We needed no one to show us how to pray. No need of guilt. No need of shame. We had no devil who preached in Jesus' name. Until the Christians came. Until the Christians came. they took our children, cut their hair, took away their medicine, and taught them fear. And they cut out their tongues, burn their way of life. And those strong enough to resist were beaten within an inch of their lives. When the Christians came,
Songs for Justice Project, featuring singer-songwriter Dennis Harrison, singer Betty Hurst, and yours truly, Ernest Pritzker on drums. The name of that song was When the Christians Came. I featured that song as a follow-up to today's program guest, Taino brother Canuck Saba's comment about how Christianity was very oppressive and culturally destructive to his Taino ancestors. As most listeners to Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices know, I make no secret about how I feel about the brutal history of Christianity towards Indigenous peoples. Missionaries have been like an epidemic disease, wiping out traditional Native spirituality and ceremonies of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. From earliest European contact, sanctioned by the Vatican's 1493 Intercessera Papal Bull Decree, the virulence of Christianity has spread and infected most every native society around the globe. From the Arctic to the tip of South America, from the remotest villages of Africa to the islands in the Pacific Ocean, native cultures have been greatly affected. Spanish missionaries brutalized Caribbean, Mesoamerican, and Native peoples of the region now known as California and the U.S. Southwest. Father Junipero Serra, under authority of the Church and government of Spain, created a widespread mission system that was genocidal to native peoples of present-day California. Friar Junipero Serra was a candidate for sainthood by the Vatican, despite protests from many contemporary Native Americans. In colonial New England, Reverend Elliot, with support of government magistrates, militarily forced many of my ancestors to convert to Christianity and settle in so-called prayer towns. Ponkapog, Natick, and Pawtucket, among others, were early concentration camps. Those Indians who did not convert either were killed or forced into slavery. A few Indians escaped to live with tribes north or west of European settlements, until Manifest Destiny continued its expansion across North America, Christianity being a scorched earth policy. Another lasting and very serious impact of Christianity was the boarding school era, forcing Native children from their families to far away residential schools was policy of countries such as Australia, Canada, United States, and New Zealand. Most were operated by various Christian denominations. In America, a few were run by the U.S. Army. All boarding schools had the purpose to forcibly convert Native youth to Christianity and assimilate young Indians into low-class white society. Most of these schools were in reality juvenile prisons. Many Native children were beaten if they tried to pray in their traditional ways. Children were punished for speaking their native language. All Indian customs were totally forbidden. No contact or communications with their tribe and families were allowed. Many Indian children were victims of sexual abuse by priests and nuns. Young children were also forced to work at hard labor, which profited the church treasury. The infamous Carlisle Indian School, under U.S. Army Captain Richard Henry Pratt, incarcerated children from more than 140 different Indian tribes. Captain Pratt, in talking to a newspaper reporter, expressed Carlisle's purpose was to, quote, kill the Indian in them, unquote. Carlisle became a model institution for other boarding Indian schools. This is why three generations of indigenous peoples who were victims of the boarding school era still suffer from intergenerational trauma. The last United States residential school only closed in the mid-1980s. Years ago, I visited the Indian cemetery at Carlisle. Among the many gravestones were 30 Taino children who died there. I want to conclude my commentary about Christianity and indigenous peoples with one last serious, troubling example. It is the issue of contemporary missionaries, especially the evangelical organization New Tribes Mission. TMI has some 3,300 missionaries throughout the world. TMI targets indigenous peoples to convert to Christianity. They translate the Bible into native languages. New Tribes Missions urge native peoples to give up their ancient traditions. I personally have seen New Tribes Missions' devastating effect on tribal peoples I visited in different countries. Third world governments often support Christian missionaries like TMI, since those Indians who convert tend to move off their homelands in order to live near the Christian missions. This makes it easier for governments and multinational corporations to exploit native territories for agricultural, energy, and natural resources. I respect all people's cultural, spiritual lifeways. If native peoples wish to convert to other spiritual paths, that is fine so long it is their choice to do so. Unfortunately, the history of Christianity and indigenous peoples in particular have often been a coerced, indoctrinated relationship. It is my hope that indigenous peoples around the world will take pride in our native spiritual beliefs. I hope these ancient ceremonial ways we call the Red Road will continue into future generations of native peoples.
Listening to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat Kitichi Native Center. Yat Kitichi Native Center defends Mother Earth and the cultural lifeways of indigenous peoples throughout the world. Yat Kitichi Native Center is an intertribal culture and arts, environmental protection, social justice, and news media organization. Yat Kitichi Native Center portrays Native peoples and their worldviews in a more accurate and in-depth depiction of both our ancestral and contemporary cultures. Yat Kitichi Native Center serves to educate by providing a deeper understanding of our diverse cultures, arts, values, histories, and contemporary situations. Yat Kitichi tries to honor traditional ways by instilling an appreciation and respect for Mother Earth and tribal peoples throughout the world. Yat Kitichi Native Center educates the public on important issues facing indigenous communities. We work in support of intertribal, cultural, environmental, and social justice issues by networking with other organizations and events which share our concerns. Yat Kitichi Native Center serves as a focal point for Native news and information. We maintain a documentary library for networking with the Native and international press. Yat Kitichi Native Center's Speakers Bureau provides spokespersons for school programs, conference speakers, and community presentations. Yat Kitichi Native Center is experienced in planning, promoting Native forums, symposiums, powwows, and cultural events. Yat Kitichi's Mishkwinataki Environment Program protects Mother Earth through conservation and restoration projects. Yat Kitichi's Environmental Education Program focuses on curriculum development, teacher training, and nature field trips. We are members of the professional organization, the North American Association of Environmental Education. Yat Kitichi's Kinonwatakwasi Native Arts creates quality handcrafted traditional and contemporary fine arts. Please request our catalog of custom flutes, pottery, beaded necklaces, bracelets, earrings, leather pouches, hat bands, and chokers with bone. Yat Kitichi Native Center's Wolf Mountain Radio Program, Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, honors Native American and Indigenous peoples throughout the world by being a voice for our ancestors, contemporary, and future generations. Native peoples throughout the world are concerned for the well-being of sacred Mother Earth, tribal sovereignty, and respect for cultural lifeways. If you appreciate hearing Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, we ask you, our listeners, to help financially support our program to stay on the air. Wolf Mountain Radio is an all-volunteer production. Any financial contribution to Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices will be greatly appreciated. We thank you for listening to Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices. We welcome your comments and suggestions. Please feel free to contact us about our consulting services, or if you or your organization is interested in hosting a speaker or educational forum. To contact Yat Kitichi Native Center, write to Yat Kitichi Native Center, 1731 16th Avenue Northeast, Naples, Florida, 34120, USA. Yat Kitichi Native Center sincerely thanks you. Aho, Kinawatakwasin, to all of our relations.
The music you just heard prior to our Yat Kitichi Native Center program identification was from Taino musician Edward Sedeno off his mini drum CD recording entitled Taino, Tribal Ancestral Indigenous New Order. That song, honoring Taino spiritual healers, was called I Am the Medicine Man. I want to again sincerely thank today's program guest, Taino Beke Kanuk Saba, my friend Mr. Edgar Rodriguez, for sharing his thoughts with us today on honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Yadkinishi Native Center urges listeners interested to learn more about Taino culture, history, and contemporary issues to visit the following two Taino organizations' websites I mentioned during today's program introduction. The first is United Confederation of Taino People, www.uctp.org. The second is Kanai Spiritual Circle, www.kanaispiritualcircle.org. Well, dear friends, we are nearing the end of our broadcast time together for this edition of Wolf Mountain Radio. Please listen next week to part two of my conversation with Taino Beke Kanuk Saba. We shall conclude today's program with music by Dene Navajo singer-songwriter Jay Begay off his Canyon Records CD, Song of Color. The name of the song is Grandma's Teaching. In Indigenous people's societies, our elders are highly respected for their knowledge and wisdoms. Grandmothers guide everyone in the community, especially our youth. Grandmothers' teachings are a way of instilling the native ethic of the principle of the seventh generation, the tribal philosophy to consider how everything one does will affect Mother Earth and seven future generations of all life. Thank you for listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. This is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker. Aho, Kinon Wontakwasin, to all of our relations.
Yo, hey, 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 yo, hey